This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast number 165 in the series For Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held on June 12, 2019. The notes from the meeting, along with the agenda and reference documents, are linked to in the show notes. After a brief update on three grants in process, the main portion of the meeting was the discussion with the Franklin High School students, bringing the proposal to ban plastic bags back to the process. They have learned from their predecessors' experience in 2016 and are more prepared this time around. Without further ado, here is the audio recording.
Timing 6:01 p.m. I call the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting to order. Today is June 12, 2018. Just a quick announcement, this meeting is being recorded by audio or video.
Audio for sure.
Perfect. So note that when you're speaking. That it will end up on the World Wide Web, and where it goes from there, I don't know. It's true. Discussions. So the first ones are grants update.
I can't spin it up yet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So really quickly, while the EDC was together, I thought I'd give a quick overview of some recent grants. And he's here right now. Brian Taverner, I want to give a lot of credit. All of this stuff has been done by Brian's office. The first one is we're doing an economic profile analysis. This is kind of an outcrop of the cultural district stuff, but we got a district local technical assistance grant. And Brian, when do you expect that to work?
It'll be done probably in January. We've already started it, but it's going to take a long
time. Right. So it's kind of given the town a better sense of its economic profile throughout the entire community. So we thought that that would be something down the line that would be of interest. The second one is the Municipal Vulnerability Grant with Bellingham. That was actually for $48,000. So it's a pretty good chunk of money to update the exciting topic of the five-year hazard mitigation plan for flooding purposes. So. There's going to be some other features of that, but we at Franklin, because of Brian's efforts along with Jim and Bellingham, we were one of the largest grant recipients in that category. So $50,000 is nothing to sneeze at. In housing choice, I mentioned this at the last council meeting. That was an event with the governor. By being a housing choice community, we open ourselves up to a whole series of additional grants, MassWorks, Complete Streets, MassDOT capital projects, TIP projects. Most notably, as I mentioned at the council meeting, by doing this, we got an extra 0.5% off our SRF loan for the water treatment plant, which will certainly save the taxpayers and the ratepayers a lot of additional money. So I give a lot of credit to Brian and Gus for filing that application, as well as our water superintendent, Lori Rosala, who we knew nothing about this, but the water sewer superintendent actually went out and figured out how to get another 0.5% off our loan. So we give a lot of credit to Lori and the staff. I always say this at the council meetings, these are a lot of the little things that are being done every day by our staff that help offset the tax impact of the community and help us achieve a lot of the goals that the council and others set forth for us. And so those are just a quick overview of some of those grants, and obviously while Brian's here, if anybody has any questions for him, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them.
Brian, anything you'd like to add?
Okay, well, on one thing, the hazard mitigation plan, which we need is overdue for update, so yeah. Both towns will be updating it, but in addition, part of this is to do a municipal vulnerability assessment as far as climate change is concerned. So that's something that we'll be looking at the same time. I think it's important to note, and that community involvement is very important. So.
Awesome. Excellent.
Councilors, Melanie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This, I guess, is to Brian and Jamie. The municipal vulnerability grant the AgCom would like to get involved in that and help with if there's any farms that are going to be or any kind of open space that will be in danger with climate change.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yep. Thank you. That's great.
Any other counselors? Anybody from the audience that would like to comment on the grants?
a lot of money.
You can say it.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic.
Nobody else would have heard, so I'm glad everybody showed up.
From my risk hat professionally, it's long overdue. I'm glad we're doing it. Absolutely. Great work.
Thanks.
Thank you. Excellent. I think moving on to number two, which is the plastic bag.
That'll cost you a dollar. That's my phone friend. I'm sorry.
Plastic bag ban proposal. So, would you like to start?
Yeah.
Mr. Town Administrator?
Just a quick snap.
So we can get it right.
We have enough excuses. He just got put in the position of time.
You probably know.
You think so? Like I didn't know.
I just found that answer.
Right. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the packet, by way of a little bit of background, these folks sitting here in the front row, as I know you know, Mr. Kelly, have been, I don't know if I want to say the word lobbying, but have really been advocating pretty strongly for the plastic bag ban. As some of you remember who were on the council in the last legislative session, a bunch of the seniors at the high school had also done the same thing a few years ago. And what I included in the packet tonight was the first memo that our former TA, Jeff Nutting, had written at the time, as well as the proposal that had been before the council at that time. And if those of you that were not here, or maybe were paying attention from the seats, Councilor Hamlin, you may recall one of the common threads from the council was to simply, one of the big questions was, why didn't the EDC vet this? Why didn't the EDC vet this? Why didn't the EDC vet this? So we know that it was almost passed. And we kind of ran out of time in the legislative session, and then of course all those talented kids graduated and went off to college. And so these folks here, I think, are trying to pick up where they left off. And they've been in my office numerous times, right? We've been trying to help them, not only, work on this proposal, but also try to help them, how to participate in their government. And so I know they've met with Councilor Kelly, they've met with me, I think they met with Councilor Hamm at some point. I think in the big picture of it all, I also put in here a copy of legislation that's pending up on Beacon Hill, and I think Councilor Earls actually had contacted our delegation a little earlier today to get an update on this. There's over 100 co-sponsors of the bill that's sitting up on Beacon Hill to make a statewide bag ban. A couple other bullet points. The Massachusetts Supermarkets Retailers Association is now in support of a statewide bag ban. One of the things that a lot of businesses are seeing is that there's so many different rules and thicknesses and styles that a lot of the retailers that are not just mom and pop stores, but that have either local chains or larger chains are finding it complicated to keep up with all of the different rules and regulations. So there is pending legislation at the state, and I believe from Councilor Earl saying earlier that contacting Jeff Roy, it's currently in a committee hearing process. They just started their legislative session a couple months ago, so I don't know where that formally stands. I think eventually they'll consider it. As I said in my memo on the top, well over 100 cities or towns have already done this in other communities. If folks remember last year, there was a lot of effort at the local level similar to the 21 and over tobacco prohibition of sales. It took about 186 communities to finally get the legislature to pass it. So the legislature still has a little ways to go, but the statewide bag ban, may be something the committee wants to consider just because we could enact our own, it may be overruled in a year or two anyways.
Has everyone had a chance to read or brief through House 771?
So given the crowd, I didn't print out a lot of copies. I thought, this crowd would have been savvy enough to look it up online and look on their phone. I'm just laying that out there.
Should we get on the show?
I might have a copy. I'm not going to have it.
So really, at the end of the day, folks, I mean, it's a policy decision. I think the former counselors had said, really, let's take this to the EDC first. The kids thought they were ready to come before the EDC, and here we are for the debate.
Excellent. Perfect. So the five of you are presenting?
Yeah.
Excellent. So let's start with names and
pick a name out of hand.
Let's go down the line and tell us who you are, and we'll go from there.
I'm Ethan Salveson.
I'm Charlotte Healy.
Hannah Burr.
Pratushin Adori.
Jasmine Singh.
Excellent. And you're all from Franklin High School?
Yes.
Excellent. Even better.
Seniors or juniors?
I'm a junior.
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore.
Excellent. That's good, because
they ain't going away.
Knows you're not going away.
The message.
They'll be back.
They're going to be back.
It's very easy for the last council to say, see you later. They all went to college.
Unless you went to France.
That's right. All right. So let's go with this. Who's presenting what and who wants to start?
Well, we're just going to have a discussion. I can start by introducing
Perfect.
The...
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that.
Okay, so just as the introduction to... You all got one of these, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So we just started by addressing the environmental concerns, which are really the driving force for why we want this back in the EDC and eventually in the town's consideration. So we just listed a few main points on why plastic bags are bad for the environment, to put it simply. So we just pointed out that they are made to last forever. They don't biodegrade, as people say they recycle. It takes millions of years for them to fully break down and recycle. And then the threats towards wildlife. You've all seen pictures of like turtles in plastic bags. It's just not a result we want to see, and definitely not in our town. We're trying to protect the natural beauty of our town. And then finally, just the harmful chemicals could pose a threat to the people of our town as well.
Yeah, I mean, also, with the original proposal, a lot of the main concerns were kind of on, again, the economic, from an economic standpoint, but this time around we've contacted 32 businesses, of which 29 were directly in favor, and I believe two were neutral, only one was actually fully opposed to the proposal. So we do feel that as far as business goes, it is looking very solidly in support this time around. Also, as far as economic impact, now that more towns have done it since the last time that this was proposed, we do have a little bit more of a view on how this works. And Boston has recently implemented one, I believe this past week. Wrentham and Plainville have both voted in ones. Bans that are very similar to the one that's being proposed. So it does look like this is something that's definitely viable.
Did we want to talk about the additional small business safeguard? Yeah, that's a lot of like what happened with...
Throw it all at us. We want to hear it all.
Yeah, go ahead. So one of the problems with the previous proposal was that a lot of small businesses opposed it because it didn't address their concerns. There was no time period for them to kind of get rid of the old bags. That was a fear, because then they would lose all the money that they paid on stock. So now we have a waiting period in which they have a year to get rid of their old bags and replace it with new bags or new products that aren't plastic. And then they're allowed to get
a temporary
harm waiver, thank you, that allows them to have a few extra months to get rid of their bags just in case they're having a little issue with that.
So we do believe that between the year and the additional time that one can request, it probably wouldn't take that much time to phase out the bags, but we are just trying to address like every possible standpoint on this, just in case there are any businesses that do buy that many bags that far in advance. We do just want to make sure that there aren't going to be any businesses left behind with the proposal.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to add?
We did also want to draw attention to the fact that Franklin has been a very green town. I believe we recently were listed as a green community. Also, Franklin has really just kind of been a leader from the start when it comes to creating innovative new policies, from our creation of the first public library to Horace Mann's advancements in education. And I think that this is really just another great opportunity for our town to act as a leader again, both in our state and in the nation. And while there is a proposal statewide to ban plastic bags, I feel like it never hurts to be cautious and try it out for ourselves.
Well, if we get ahead of it and we pass a townwide ban, then we're doing it on our town's terms and not on the state's terms as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can make it a lot more towards the business's needs as opposed to a larger state ban, which one isn't as likely to pass as there's so many more factors, and two, would be a lot more generalized. I feel like this is a really great opportunity for us to for us to look at it at kind of a specialized, from a specialized view.
Also, if it were to be at a state level, the small businesses may not have the option to have a waiting period or a temporary harm waiver, so this is, we're trying to give them as much help as we can to save them the most money possible.
Counselors. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. In your research and in your discussion with the 29 odd companies that had been in favor of this, did they have any thoughts on the solution to replacing those bags? In other words, what would their preference be in regards to actually replacing the plastic bags with some alternative?
So largely, currently we're trying to lean towards reusable bags, but there would be the option for a business to use paper bags if necessary.
What were their thoughts on that?
As far as we talked to businesses, we didn't directly ask each business, but for the most part, most seemed to be leaning towards reusable bags. I know there was one or two that were saying that they might try and do a combination with the option of paper bags, just in case somebody forgets theirs. Mm-hmm. But largely, it was towards reusable bags. As I mean, one, in the long term, that's a lot more sustainable, as mm-hmm. you don't need to give out as many bags. So in the long term, it can actually save the business money, and two, as it would be better for the environment than paper bags.
I may give a little background about the reusable bags. We have a plan for a reusable bag drive mm-hmm. in which people who have a lot of excess can donate it to people who can't afford maybe to get a reusable bag, so that won't be an issue for people who can't afford it. Also, I did a study, a neurology study, in which it only takes 3 months to form a habit. So in order to get the Franklin community in the habit of bringing their bags, if they leave it in a certain spot or something, it should only take 3 months to build the habit.
If I could get past that first week of exercise,
I might make it 3 months and sustain that exercise. Just to play devil's advocate here a minute. Just to play devil's advocate here a little bit, and again, it's not that I proposed this, but one of the questions I've had, because I worked with Alicia back on the original proposal when this first came out, learned a lot from her, learned a lot from the previous group that had come forth before, spoke with a senior who was doing a paper on this at Franklin High School back in January. I've done my own research on the topic. One of the questions, one of the curious questions I have that always seems to pop up when I have this discussion with the town administrator a little while ago, is why plastic bags? Why not plastic Dunkin' Donut cups, why not straws, why not plastic water containers?
Metal. Reusable metal.
You know, what?
Straw. You and I have the metal to get the
plastic. Why does there seem to be a peculiar draw towards plastic bands and not other consumer goods that are plastic as well? What? Just a curious question.
I think it's a good start. I think that's what we're trying to really get at here. I think it's a good start. I think when I go to Dunkin' or when I go to Starbucks, I'll go like once a week, I'll get one cup and one straw. But when I go to like Stop and Shop, I'm gonna get like four bags, and that's a lot more plastic. So I think if we start there, mm-hmm. then we can and people get in the habit of using other products, then we can put that in different categories as well. And I think companies like Starbucks and Dunkin', McDonald's, like they're much bigger, badder, like beasts, monsters to battle than our own community here in Franklin.
Well, I think also it's just so easily replaceable. Like I feel like the closest one-to-one parallel, people will say like, oh, well, I can't use a reusable cup because that like, it's a different like feeling. People will complain about like the feeling of metal straws or reusable straws. I think bags are bags. Once you get in the habit of using a reusable bag, it's really not going to make an impact on the convenience of your shopping.
I agree. I mean, also, again, as far as it being a good start, plastic bags do constitute most of plastic waste, more than plastic cups or straws, as far as I've seen online, according to studies. So while there's definitely further room to improve from there, I think this is really just a great place to start.
The reality is, you know, I'm really good friends with the Honeydew owner, and he would tell you that he would love it if everybody came in with their own cup, because it's
right.
The largest cost
right.
in his,
right.
the largest cost, so that for him when he's making a cup of coffee. The beans are cheap, the cream's cheap, the coffee is everything, the water's cheaper than the coffee. So.
Who knows, that might be our next obstacle to tackle. We just do this one first.
You might have trouble with that. The only problem is if somebody's trying to rent them to Bellingham, they don't have a coffee.
It has to be the next.
I don't know how they're putting it in their hands. So.
Well, I read something online today that the United States makes about 10 billion bags. And that it takes so much petroleum.
Yes, it does.
Right. So when people come, some people say that it's not really that environmentally friendly. That it takes more. You know, you can make more bags than you can make with the same energy. You can make more paper bags or something like that with it. But it's the plastic, right? Yeah. That's, we want to get plastic out of our environment, and out of our what we eat, right, and everything else. Mm-hmm. But I do have a question. In your research, did you find a way to maybe recycle some of the plastic bags that are already out there so that some of the businesses who have a bunch of them can hand them over to you and get them recycled?
There's no way that people have tried.
She does have an answer for you.
I have a small business. We have a lot of these plastic bags that I hate to give out. And a lot of people want something that's going to be waterproof.
Right.
But I found out the other day that the farmer's market bag is waterproof because I left it outside in the rain and it filled up with water. So I had the bag was full of water. It was kind of, I'm like, this is waterproof.
Cool,
right? Reusable farmer's market bag, yeah.
And I mean, also, there wouldn't be anything to say that an individual couldn't own the plastic bags. It would be more, the focus is really more on distribution of the plastic bags. Right. So it would be able, someone would theoretically be able to use the plastic bags for things like that and just for general tasks as much as they'd like to, as long as they are selling it through a business.
So I could give them out. I don't want to give them out, though. I want to actually put them somewhere where they'll get recycled.
And as far as other ways to recycle, I know that currently there isn't a way to recycle plastic bags. If there is any other possible ideas, I'm definitely open to anything else. But as far as it currently stands, there's not many current ways to deal with plastic bag waste. It's really more about how do we minimize it and how do we stop it from getting worse.
So what do you think is the best way to dispose of them?
I'd say for now, it's really looking like just the way that we're currently disposing of them, since there's no better way at the moment. I think that if there is any better way, we should definitely go with that. But again, this is really about trying to stop further damage as opposed to...
I guess if they're in a roll, they're all connected, right? And there's not one. One of the things that I think I could answer Glenn's question about why plastic bags is because they fly around in the air and the wind. They get stuck up in the trees and you can't go get them. That drives me crazy. So. Like, I don't like them because of that. I guess if they're all in one roll, then they would be flying around, right?
With the current proposal, do you envision a total ban or something where people can put in for instance, like a 5-cent deposit and get a plastic bag at that point? But I know it's an option that a number of communities in Massachusetts and throughout the U.S. have adopted.
Yes, so currently we are leaning towards a full ban. There have been some ideas about possibly implementing a 5-cent cost to the waiting period as a way to kind of phase it out and naturally.
That would be completely up to businesses.
That would probably have to be up to businesses. I feel like that might be hard to enforce just as far as having that additional cost. But there also have been examples of full bans, again, in Boston and Cambridge that have worked relatively well with little to no harm to town and city economies. So we're leaning towards full ban at the moment.
There are actually some recycling options in place for bags. Actually, there's a bag return at Stop and Shop currently for plastic bags. Chairman, if I'm a comment from the audience.
I take my bags back, and I ask them one day, what happens to the bags once I bring them back? They don't know. One thing, the plastic bags, they're so thin, you can't cut them. It gums up the cutting material. Mm-hmm. And so it probably goes in the landfill anyway. So I don't know, because I asked the guy, the manager, and he had no idea where they went after, I bring them up, put them in their container.
The trees.
Right. But, that's it.
The Pacific Ocean.
I have to tell you, I was able to fly to Hawaii last year, and from the air, you can see the plastic bag island. Mm-hmm. When which everybody thinks is, yep, no, it's just a, you know, a dream of someone. You can actually see it. Mm-hmm. And that's terrifying. So it's real. It's not fake news.
So look around. You're amongst everybody that likes you and wants to hear this from you. Right? This is nice. This is the nice section. Right? It's 34,000 people out there that are going to, some way or another, want to come and you know, go against you. They don't care that you're kids. We've had this happen before. I sat on the last thing, and they were downright cruel and mean, I can tell you. So I think we met, and I said, you have to have a thick skin to do this. And I love this. I, you know, spend a lot of time down the Cape, and the community that I live in Falmouth is a plastic bag free community, and you know, you learn to adapt. It's just, it works, right? Couple of questions I'm going to throw at you. It doesn't mean I'm in support of a non-bag, so just keep that in mind, but you have to be prepared to answer those questions. But how about the person that tells you that they use their plastic bags for their cat or pet trash, or for their trash cans? What's your answer?
We have a solution to that. Alicia had that as well in her previous presentation. Yeah. I think that they cost less than a penny each. If you get them at many local pet stores, have them, reusable bags, and you can also get them on Amazon for a price about the same as the plastic ones are.
Okay. Also, weren't we thinking of working with the Eagle Scouts? Weren't we talking about this? This is just like an idea, but working with the Eagle Scouts of Franklin to theoretically set up like dog bag stations around the town.
Okay. I like that.
That'd be a good idea anyway.
You gotta be prepared, right? Because that's gonna be, you know, everybody's gonna come out and ask those questions. So
we could set up a vending machine at the dog park that you can buy.
That's a great idea.
Reusable bags at the dog park.
Sure, if it takes credit cards, who cares?
Cash. Whatever. vending machine for dog bags.
Are these,
right?
Go ahead. Are we talking about reusable dog waste bags or?
No,
those are the words that have been used.
Biodegradable.
Okay, all right, just check it, okay? Thank you.
I don't think it was reusable.
Well, it was mentioned a couple of times, reusable. I just want to make sure. Okay? All right, thank you.
What about the question that, switching to paper, if we went from plastic to paper, let's say, that it cuts down trees and that ruins the environment as well. And the reason I mention that is because that was huge last time.
Oh, yeah.
And the last group did not have they kind of sat there dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. So that's, you know, go ahead.
So between the bag drive and a lot of the other things that we're trying to put in place, we are trying to lean towards reusable bags. But as far as paper bags versus plastic bags, while paper bags do take up energy and cut down trees, as they are biodegradable, there's not as much of a worry with them staying in the environment for a long time. So paper bags aren't environmentally great, but they aren't. The main problem that we have with plastic is that it doesn't biodegrade. Mm-hmm. And
I get that.
Yeah, based on
the
that.
The cost is greater to make a paper bag than it is a plastic bag.
For the issue of trees being cut down,
yep,
because paper bags are biodegradable, you can keep on making more paper bags out of the original paper bag.
But like, lives are lost. Like, animals' lives are lost with plastic.
I get
and
that.
You can't. You can't buy back like a turtle's life. Like, what about the turtle's brother?
Yeah, right.
Definitely the footprint that a plastic bag leaves is greater than what a paper bag would leave.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I bring these up because I want you to be prepared to answer them.
You are.
Because we're easy.
We're going to go,
you got this, right? But there's people that don't sit on the council, and there's people that sit on the council and might have these tough questions. And the last group, I can tell you from sitting there, got very frustrated, and that turned it. As soon as they everybody's like, nope, they're kids, send them away. You are not kids. I get that. You're young adults, and you can handle this, and I want you to be able to handle this. So one of the things that, as I mentioned, I have a summer home down in Falmouth, Massachusetts. One of the things that they do down there is they have the plastic reusable bags, but all of the stores that we go in, if you want them, the major suppliers do not, Walmart, things like that do not, but if you go into a local mom and pop store, they charge if you want like a reusable hard plastic bag. Would that be something under your proposal that you would put in, or would this should be a completely plastic bag ban throughout the whole community?
Well, as the current proposal is, it does have like the millimeter restriction on plastic bags.
Yeah, so
So if somebody had something that
this was a proposal a few years ago. I mean, I don't know what the industry standard is.
Well, my next question is, what is your proposal?
It was on 4 millimeters, which that does also allow for thicker reusable bags, because some thicker reusable bags are made out of plastic.
Mills or millimeters?
I think it was millimeters.
Mills. Should be mills. Mills is 0.00. So the thickness of a hair.
So what are you...
That's like the bags, I think, that you get for the meat.
Yes.
For vegetables and stuff. Okay. I think that's
just to clarify.
So that people can still put meat in it.
Just to clarify again off of that point, we aren't banning dry cleaner bags, we're not banning Ziplocs, we're not banning the meat and vegetable bags, it's simply just plastic bags.
I would love if you banned dry cleaning bags.
Those are another issue.
So are you looking to just have us re-enter the previous bylaw amendment 16-774? Is that what you want us to do, or?
No, this
with,
one has.
With the, yes, except with the phase-in, mm-hmm. and then the three-month waiver, and I think that was it, right?
Yeah.
Just those two elements. So there's the 12-month phase-in, and then the additional, did you have 1 or 2 month, 3 month phase-in?
You could have
like
two
waivers. Okay, so there, I was going to go with one, they said two. It's fine with me.
Councilors?
Okay. To the point that Chairman Kelly was making, whenever hot topic items come up like this that came up a few years ago, there's like what I like to call the vulture syndrome, where they're just kind of sitting around waiting to pounce. And when they do pounce, they come at you with a variety of questions that are going to be difficult to answer. Most of the comments and most of the statements and most of the stuff that you guys have presented with us today are similar to what's already been presented. One of the things I ask, and again, I don't disagree with you guys, is that you try to make a community effort, if possible. My thoughts, as Council Hamlin, myself, and Ambassadors to Franklin Downtown Partnership, is to make an effort to reach out to the Franklin Downtown Partnership, who has a large consortium of businesses associated with that, whom you can consult with and get some thoughts and ideas from them, a larger organization, who has the general pulse on the businesses beyond the 20, 29, or 32 businesses that you've already reached out to. The reason I bring that up is because there are quite a few businesses in this town that use these plastic consumer bags. Many of them use these plastic consumer bags for the convenience store. You walk in, you're buying a bag of chips. The irony is you walk in, you buy bags of chips and you put them in a bag. You know, all these things go to waste. Most of the stuff is wasted volume. My point is that you are gonna get some businesses whom you haven't already polled who are going to be against this for either economic reasons or personal reasons or whatever the reason it might be. They might have like a whole freaking warehouse full of these things that they just don't want to see wasted. So there's gonna be some pushback on this.
Yeah. Just on the
One more thought.
Yeah.
Is to also just give it a little bit more time to kind of get some input from other people before it even gets to the council level.
Yeah.
So that we can have an opportunity to vet any thoughts and ideas so that we can get viable answers to their questions prior to even making it to the council level. Just so that the same embarrassments that came with some of the questions with the previous proposal don't happen to pop up again.
Yeah.
You follow what I mean?
Yeah. We don't want you guys to get stung, and neither do we want to get stung. We all want to work together to get this done if you want to get it done.
Yeah.
People aren't friendly as much as you.
Alicia said that she received many death threats during the process.
Oh, no. Okay.
Death threats?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
People could do something like that.
Alicia Felly, the one who previously did this.
Yeah, it was very contentious, and I think both sides didn't present a good argument, and that's mostly why the council just said no at the time, because it got too contentious for everybody involved.
I think one of the things that would be the most logical step is to garner further support directly from the businesses. That gives you additional salvos in your pocket that you can utilize against those who are against it. And the overall more support that you guys garner on your own through the businesses and through the people themselves directly, it just it makes your argument even more viable. And it's not that we're against it. It's just that we're trying to make sure that you have all of your eggs and ducks in a row so that when it comes to the point that we're passing a legitimate legal document that affects 34,000 people in the town of Franklin, that it's been thoroughly vetted. Make sense?
Yes. To add on to what Councillor Jones just said, I think it would be fantastic to have a petition that's signed by all the businesses to show, right?
I agree.
And maybe by 30,000 people in the town, right? So that you have them, so you can show that you have the majority of support.
I believe we have over 1,000 as of now in the town that we're still working on.
Also, as far as I did just want to bring up, I know that there are a couple of businesses that were directly opposed to this. The main one was Dodario. I did also want to bring up, because I forgot to bring this up earlier, we did actually reach out to Dodario and we met with him. And while he still personally isn't fully in support of it, he said that as far as business goes, he's now neutral towards it. So as he was kind of the main, I guess the main figurehead of the opposition with the original proposal, most likely won't be as much of a worry this time around as it was with the original.
Those meetings were all recorded, so I would watch them because the people who stood up and said no last time and spoke against you, you want to make sure that you reach out to them to the best of your ability and figure that out.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. Is if you see any,
you can see where it went wrong.
Yeah, right. Any individuals that made their counter arguments. And asking viable questions that were valid questions at the time, that's still probably very valid today, is to find the answers to those questions so that you have the means to present that answer to them if they ask you the same question.
How can we access that?
You can go right on the Franklin TV, and this was dated, when did we have 16, this date?
October 16th.
So you'd want to look around those October 2016 meetings.
Franklin Matters post this morning has the links to the prior meeting notes, and I'll be updating that as well.
Thank you.
I was trying to give a plug for our website.
But the links all go back to your website.
Our website.
That's right. They go back.
The links go back to your website. I just made it easy to find them.
I made my plug.
Well, I just wanted to say, really appreciate you coming in, very well prepared, very eloquent in your speaking on this topic. I know we're probably coming up near the end of our time today, but I just wanted to build off a few of the points that Councillor Hamlin and Councillor Jones made a moment ago. I do think that presenting this to the business community as a whole, Franklin, which is a large community, is certainly a really, really important part of this. A few sort of add-ons to that, there may be opportunities to work with the town to see about putting a recycling point at the town transfer station for plastic bags, even if maybe they're going to the landfill, but we'll look into it. Maybe they're going to be squished up for, kids' playground material or something like that. I have some concerns about the lack of a deposit option, because I have seen that that's been very very favored in a lot of communities, because there are some people that they have their reasons, but they prefer having the specific size of plastic bags we have today. And of course, as with all of these kinds of policies, the more time goes on, the more complicated they get. There's been a lot of studies out of California recently, we just had bag bans in place for a little while, that indicate that there's actually more plastic being used now with bag bans in place than before, because people are buying heavier gauge plastic, essentially, in plastic trash bags, many of which are meeting the same fate, larger bags in this case, than the bags that we would have, that people would have gotten from grocery stores. So I share your concern about keeping trash and plastic out of our streams and out of our wetlands. I think it is a little bit of a problem with the ocean, although a lot of studies recently have been pinning the blame on Mozambique and Vietnam. Lots of rivers, no waste dumps. Almost all the plastic bags are coming from those countries and ending up in those Pacific trash gyres and Atlantic trash gyres. One thing might be interesting to consider would be working with students in Bellingham, especially because you folks are still a few years left at Franklin High School before you're out the door to college. Bellingham is probably the source of most of the plastic bags in Franklin, when you really think about it. We don't actually, if anyone stood in line at Shaw's, you wait a long time because there's one register open, but there's not that many people actually buying stuff at Shaw's. Big Y, Stop and Shop, a little bit of a different story, but a huge volume of the grocery sales in our area is actually taking place over in North Bellingham at Market Basket. So, finding an opportunity to potentially, bring these ideas forth to the community of Bellingham, maybe find like-minded people there, might be something that would be more effective in the long run at actually preventing trash from hitting the streets here in Franklin and keep bags, you know, ideally out of our wetlands.
Just to go back to the deposit thing, I mean, I don't think we were thinking of it in the form of a deposit, but it definitely would be something similar if we do like the thicker grade plastic bags that are available still. Like, what exactly do you mean by the deposit?
So essentially, what I've seen a number of other communities do is that they've had a system where you can still get plastic bags as we know them in grocery stores, but you're going to have to pay 5 cents for each bag. So people are going to be thinking long and hard about their choice. But it may, for some people that have small trash cans or they want to do one-stop shopping or they forgot the bag back in the trash bag aisle, it may serve their needs, particularly elderly people. This has been something I've heard quite a bit about from elderly residents here in Franklin, is their concern with the bag ban, because many of them rely on having small little plastic bags to put waste in, you know, around the house. Like, oh, this is a piece of paper, I don't need anymore, I'm going to put it in here. For many people, it's almost a hassle with some of the larger trash bags, especially if they have only a very small volume of waste that they themselves are generating. That's sort of the thought I was going with.
Well, as our law stands, it would allow the thicker types of plastic bags, so I wonder if we could incorporate that into the availability of those bags, because they serve the same purpose and they're like the same size and make kind of just thicker and reusable.
That, and also this would again just be a ban on the distribution of the bags, so it would still, any standing bags that people have on them or obtained during the waiting period, that would still be fine for them to use. Or if they were to go to a different town and bring the plastic bag from there, if they were shopping in, say, Bellingham, like you were saying. So I'm not sure the full impact that it would have on that, just because there would still be the option for people to use them around the house if necessary to them.
And along those lines, I'm not trying to say this to be sarcastic or cocky, but if they care that much about plastic bags, then maybe they should be savoring them more and not using them as quickly and going through them as much as other people are. Maybe they'll take more care to what they put into them and how they use them.
Anyone from the audience that'd like to speak? I won't leave you out because our time is getting close to the end. You all came with nothing to say.
Well, we came to support the young people that we are proud of, you know. And I think they've done an excellent job, and they've done their homework, and they presented, and you know, we're just here to support them. So.
Good. Just a quick comment, kind of alluding to it. I believe Ellen, Councilor Rose, is talking about. I think it's noble that we make these efforts nationally to address our waste as a whole. As a person who's actually been to a fifth world country, Haiti itself, which has absolutely zero waste management in that country, as well as other countries around the world, their waste, 100% of their waste, is dumped into the ocean. Any of the other waste is actually scattered and strewn throughout their country. It's one of the filthiest places I've ever seen in my life. So our standards, in comparison to other countries around this world, are much higher, which doesn't mean we shouldn't start making better efforts towards cleaning our own room up, but we definitely need to make sure that we consult with as many people as possible to get the majority feel on this before moves any further forward. I think, what do you think the next meeting is going to be?
I was just going to ask, Mr. Do you, and the members of the subcommittee as well, do you want them to come back and review this bylaw amendment, or do we want to push it to the council from here?
I'd like to see you guys come back with some thoughts that we proposed tonight. One particular is going out and reaching to the Franklin Downtown Partnership to try and get their thoughts and ideas on these things.
Why don't we do this? Do you have the copy of the bylaw amendment?
I emailed it.
Perfect.
Take that. So it's on the website.
Right.
Do you just want to note that Downtown Partnership will not be meeting until September?
Officially, in a public meeting.
Okay. Right.
But you can still meet out with members.
You can still get Lisa.
You can talk with individual members or things of that nature.
Yeah, the Starlight Store's coming in. Yeah. Which actually would be an excellent location for you guys to do some education.
Mm-hmm.
Surveys.
I think
it's an opportunity.
And I'll just chat real quick on the bylaw amendment. I think you need to take the bylaw amendment, go through it, put what your ideas are on there, get everything in there that you want,
submit it before our meeting, so we have it to review. Yep, we're gonna send it to the town administrator. Come back at our next EDC meeting. Let's get you from there, hopefully all approved here. So what happens here is we send it up to the town council. Town council then will take a discussion and a vote on it. All right. Does that work for you?
So you were saying, so just to review, just so I'm sure that we get everything, we should just add the stuff on the waiting period and time waivers to the bylaw, talk to the downtown partnership, and then we should come back?
I think you should add anything your heart desires that you want in there now.
And review any questions from previous videos.
And anything you can potentially put in there. Pull out the fluff and put the good stuff in and go forward from that. People want to know the hard facts. What's this going to cost them? What this is going to be for them? And we want to get this to the town council so it's a complete one-piece bylaw amendment so that the town council has the right to vote on it and the four of us can sit in front of the council and say, we reviewed it, we're approving it, and we want to get it into Franklin as a bylaw.
I
was just going to add in, I think in the list of the things that folks, you know, you consider the deposit, you know, look at other models and just see if that's something you want to do or not do. And also, Council
Hamm.
Really
right?
Yeah, but it's essentially, I think of it like the 5 cents on the,
So it's
10 cents. But also, you know, Council Hamm had suggested a petition.
Yeah.
And just, I think the more signatures you get, it looks like you already got a few dozen in the room. Really, start there. That's good. I know Alicia had a petition too. You know, just collect all that. I don't think a lot of people are going to change their view in a couple of years. But the more people you get, the strawberry stroll, whoever mentioned it, was a good example of a way to get some signatures. I just think, even if it's a month or two away, you know, the more people you get, you're out of school soon, so you're gonna have free time, hopefully. You know, just go around and get as many people as you can.
I'm going that route right now. All right, so here's my question for you.
Right, free time.
No free time. Signatures.
So when you come back, well, here's your homework, right? When you come back, we expect a full presentation of what you're going to give on the council. We want to see what it's like, right? Not for us, because we're going to listen to it twice. It's fine.
We're 4 of 7 councilors.
We want to make sure that you're polished to go in front of the community to be ready to go. Jones just went to the school
committee. I did. Jumped on
the school
committee.
So we do currently have a presentation. I can just bring up a projector or something along those
perfect
lines.
And
then also, as far as reviewing the previous videos, I have reviewed those videos and I've added some of the major questions that we've brought up to the notes, so that is mostly all set up.
Excellent.
So we can work on getting the petition and talk to the downtown partnership. Mm-hmm. And I have, kind of early on, I did send you some of the like draft for the waiting period and the time waivers in the proposed bylaw. So I guess
those are easy to add. I can do that on my own.
Yeah. So if you could just review that, just make sure that everything's all set.
You're a sophomore.
I am. Yes.
You have straight A's for your sophomore year, I bet.
I think if this passes, he is.
Well, so let's make sure we have this straight before we go too far, because summer's coming.
Yeah.
Are you doing this in September, or do you want to do this in July and August?
We won't get a lot of attention in July. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess July and August, if possible, just if that's...
What you need to do, and my advice to you, is talk amongst yourselves, because you need to get people out from your classmates out, right, and the community out that support you. Talk amongst yourselves, get back to the town administrator with a date that will, if you follow the town council schedule, we meet on the town council schedule. So
July 24th, and I know it's July 24th, and also I think August 13th.
So those are your two dates, or you push it when you go back to school into September,
okay,
and then we pay it up in September.
Great.
So
you
it's up to you.
Said it'd be better in September?
That's completely up to you.
I would say so.
Because you guys need a lot.
Sometimes when you want to get things passed under the radar, you're in the summer when everybody's away. Sometimes
some
when you want everybody to hear about it, you do it back in September, October. So it matters how you feel you want it done.
Yeah.
So.
But we also really just want you guys to be.
Go ahead.
Listen.
I'm honest
as the day is long. I'll just tell you straight
up. The first step, you
got to get back here first.
Signatures, you know, let the signatures then, when you get that, you know, moving along, you get, you know, whatever number it is that folks want, you know, then you kind of come back and go, okay, now we're ready to go. Yeah. You know, so I hate to give you a date and you hadn't had a chance to go get more signatures, right. You know what I mean? And
then go do your thing, come back. When you're ready, we're ready. We'll figure it all out. How's that sound?
Yeah, and then we do have a good deal more members too. It's just with finals weekend.
Yep.
Summer ramping up.
Right, see, that's the problem.
And yeah, that's the problem with the summer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you want 30 people to come, but there's 29 on vacation. You might be sitting in the seat by yourself.
Yeah, but you may get the whole sophomore class.
That's right.
I'll try and get junior and everyone who is involved, just so we can get like a more comprehensive list of everyone that's in support. Good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we will wait until we hear from you again.
Great.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, question from a protocol perspective, a zoning bylaw, town council normally then refers to the planning board for action. Would this be a zoning bylaw going through that cycle?
No.
So it would just be a public hearing announced for town council.
Correct.
Still two hearings or just one?
Two.
Still two teeth.
It's a bylaw change.
Yeah.
Yep. Still bylaw change.
A bylaw amendment requires two meetings. It's just not zoning.
It's an adoption of a new bylaw.
So it's still two meetings at the council, but not through the planning
board
cycle.
No referral to the
just wanted to clarify.
We don't need them in the mix.
One more question. If we did decide to go along the path of the 5 cent per plastic bag, would that be simple to just add to the bylaw, or would we have to go through a different process?
Nope, add it in.
Just add it in. Okay.
You guys need to tell me what you think. Not now, but you know, go back huddle, see what maybe residents say. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is one of the ideas that, as Councilor was pointing out, he's talked to obviously a bunch of people. This maybe when you go get your petition, maybe
This is a very adult thing. This goes into our five names down so I can keep track of the minutes. Make sure, because when you're long gone and off into college, I will still be hearing this and taking care of it. So remember, whatever you do today is for everybody forever. So you don't want them to go, I can't believe they didn't put in or they didn't do. So Brian will tell you.
Take the heat down and
how you
do this.
What's that?
Councilor Kelly can't take the heat then.
I can't. I'm not dealing with it in 10 years. So
you know what the iced coffee. You can't take the heat.
All right. With that,
motion to adjourn.
I just wanted to thank them for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your passion.
Great job.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, I say this is the fun part.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. The only one.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? In particular, if you have an interest in real estate, zoning, or construction, I would like someone to help us by following the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and or the Conservation Commission meetings. I'll provide the guidance on note-taking and sharing. You'll just need to bring an inquisitive, open mind, and willingness to learn and share. Overall, if you like the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.